verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Over the years, I have tried everything that I've known how to make Christmas more meaningful for people, and with very modest success and often with great failure. But I particularly love Christmas, and it's well known, and I've celebrated in all kinds of ways, and I included many people down through the years in all of my various activities. Hikes, concerts, everything in between. Even the occasional visit to a place that would serve Coke with cream. We've done it all. And I love preparing spiritually for Christmas, if I can, again to varying degrees. So anyway, and it is against my principles to be doing a Christmas sermon in November. Because what am I going to do in December? Because pretty much what I said before, I can't be repeating, I really be saying, we've had that before, no, Pat, any chance of anything new? So our text anyway, which Martin has just read for us, is the story of the shepherds, well known. So what do I have to say that is of any interest? So we begin. The question, do you want to get close to Jesus this Christmas? That's the question that came into my spirit in recent days. Do you actually want to get close to Jesus this Christmas? Some people will say, yes, as close as possible. So I ask the question, how close do you actually want to get? Hence the reason to do this Sunday, four Sundays, to prepare for Christmas Day. Do you actually want to get close to Jesus? People will ask you all kinds of questions. How's the shopping going? Have you got everything you need? How are the preparations going? Who's coming Christmas Day to you, and all of that. But we are a month out from all of that, roughly. So do you actually want to get close to Jesus? And how close do you want to get? How about as close as the shepherds? That's pretty close. Now, we know that is a physical impossibility, because that chance has come and gone. Jesus has been born. They were at the right place at the right time. But if that could be mirrored, spiritually speaking, that spiritually, our spirit, by the Holy Spirit, are connected with the Spirit of Jesus, that we could get as close as the shepherds got physically, but we get to do it in a spiritual sense. That's what I'm talking about. Do you want to get close to Jesus? That's the question. If you've answered yes, well, if you've answered no, you might as well go home because I have nothing else to say to you. But if you have answered even a modest yes, then the first thing I want to ask you, and indeed asking myself, is what's your attitude like? Because you'll see as we go along here, attitude is quite significant when it comes to this. What is your attitude like? And more specifically, are you humble? Spiritually speaking, are you actually humble? In every sense of the word, I suppose you could ask the question, are you humble? Or we go even to the next stage, are you really humble? Because the story that Martin just read for us is all about people who were profoundly humble. So in getting close to Jesus, you will see attitude is very important. Why is it important, you may ask? Well, let me just put up one verse here. Find it in James. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So can you see, if you want to get close to Jesus, attitude is actually going to count. If there's a, I'm not suggesting for a minute there is, but if there's a degree of arrogance or pride, forget about it. You may even be further back from him by the time Christmas comes than even we are now. So God opposes the proud, gives grace to the humble. I have no doubt there was many, many very proud people who lived in Jerusalem, just 9 kilometers down the road from where Jesus was born. But they did not get up and close to him. God opposes the proud, gives grace to the humble. You could be sitting around, drinking mulled wine, non-alcoholic, if you're driving, and the conversation would come up, how's Christmas going, preparations and all that, and then somebody holy and devout, it wouldn't be myself now, but maybe somebody that you know yourselves, and say, well, I am trying to keep Jesus central in Christmas so he doesn't get lost in the middle of all this. I'm sure you've heard a phrase like that before. I don't want to miss Jesus. I don't want to get caught up in all the commercialism and lose that. Hence the reason why Advent is really important. But I suggest attitude is highly important. Let me ask you another way of this. Status. How important is status to you? This comes into our story. You see, how important is it that you're well thought of in society, that your career, your profession carries clout, and that you are generally viewed as a valuable member of society? How important is that to you? Can being as important can be. One, I couldn't care less what people think of me. But status, how important is it? Why is that important? Because those who got close to Jesus had no status. Isn't that interesting? None. So we may sit around and say, I want to keep Jesus central, and I don't want to miss all that. And the Lord could easily say, really? Really? Is that words, or is it merely words, or is it an actual reality in one's heart? You have to figure that out for yourself. Status. How important is it? Well, how important is status among the people of God? I've already mentioned it was very important to the religious elite in Jerusalem at the time, and we even know more so as Jesus grew up and as he interacted with them. One of the things that he threatened with in arriving was their clout and their status. So, how important is it to the people of God? I would say this, that with a few saintly exceptions, you'll always find that status is very important to many Christians. How do you know that? Well, if you look up at the makeup of many or most Christian boards, organizations, and all that, let me tell you what you find. almost all of them are made up of eminently qualified and highly successful people. Not all the time, but that's generally speaking what they go for. Can you see why status is important? Let me tell you what you won't find there for the most part. You know, when they do the little kind of the small bit of information to buy up of them, of what your enter, what your rocky is, and then, you know, what biscuits you like to eat with your coffee, you know, something nice and tame at the end. You will never find this. Hi, my name is John. I'm a recovering sinner, saved by grace. Pray that I will lead well. If they're on the committee, that's the first thing that should be said. I'm not knocking the committees, don't get ourselves committees to myself. But what I'm saying is, we see that status is very important to us. But God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Let me ask you a question. However, you've answered that question, and if it is important to you to be well thought of and to be seen as a valuable member of society, etc., etc., and all that, the question I wanted to ask is, would you be willing to let that go if it meant getting closer to Jesus? You see, at the time of Jesus' birth, status was with the religious elite in Jerusalem. As for the shepherds that Martin just read for us a few minutes ago, well, they had none. They had none. Actually, they were way, way down the social ladder. They were pretty much at the bottom. First of all, they lived very rough lives. Apparently, one of the things was that they were so long with sheep that you couldn't get the smell of sheep off of them, no matter how much they bathed. Their witness in court was dubious at the very least. If you had a shepherd as a reference, well, you could be in trouble. So no social status as such. But they got closer to Jesus than pretty much everyone else did. You see, I don't think status is the problem. I think the real problem is people allow success go to their heads and it becomes a form of pride of where they begin to look down their noses at people who are less successful or less qualified. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Can you see why attitude is so important? Coming up to Christmas, shepherds were considered obviously uneducated, yet they were the first humans, well, among the first anyway, who saw Jesus in baby form. Very interesting, everybody else was completely bypassed and clueless as to what was going on. Can you see then why attitude does count? Even if we say to our colleagues and our friends, well, I want to keep Jesus central and I don't want to miss the Christmas, but I need something that gives me something deep and meaningful and all that. Suppose Law says, actually, you don't need any of that at all. You just need to be humble and just come before me. I had never thought of it like that before. I don't know if you have either. But attitude definitely counts. I covered the hurry. Status is not bad in itself. It's just merely that we allow it go to our heads. And that's what happens. And that was what happens in the Christian circle as well. There's nothing wrong with the Lord giving people gifts and they're using that and they rise to very high levels. That's not the problem. In actual fact, I see that as a good thing. It's only when it's used to put others down or to make others inferior and to make yourself superior. That does something to our relationship with God. And it pulls it back. Because Jesus was never like that. God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Can you have status? I mean, no, eminently quite status and very senior qualifications and experience. Can you have that and still be rejected by Christians? The answer, unfortunately, is yes. Because If your character is seen any way dubious, or your background in any way would bring anything got to do with credibility, you're out. I wouldn't have been able to answer that question 10 years ago in that way. But having talked to enough people who have had doors slammed in their faces because of where they're coming from, yet eminently qualified and some very successful. So to our story, what is it that we learn from the shepherds that will help us to draw close to God? And there are two things. If I had time, I could say there was three, but two is more than sufficient because attitude is our turnaround. So shepherds had two things that are crucial to get close to Jesus after attitude. And these things can be in short supply even in Christian circles. Two things, they're reachable and teachable. Verse 8, and the shepherds were living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Christ. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. These men were reachable. Now, admittedly, the Lord took the initiative, but they were reachable. In other words, the information that they were given and the insight, they actually did something with it. And that's the reason why it was given to them. First of all, they were reachable. In other words, that you were able to get through to them. Think of how much argument and debate there is among Christians. If this was given to a whole church, there had to be a church meeting. Are you sure you've got it right? Are you sure you're not seeing things? That is a new experience to me. I'm going to have to take a long time to process that, and I'll get back to you. Often we say, Jesus, we want to get close to you, but the question I'm asking is, are we actually reachable when he actually gives us the information? Many of God's people have already shutters and earmuffs on, so they're only reachable in a very small way. The shepherds were given an awful lot of information, but they were highly reachable. And then they got to see the choir, of course, and suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God, and they were singing glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men whom the favors rest. They were teachable. Verse 15, when the angels left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Can you see how reachable they were and how open and how willing they were willing to receive that spiritual information? It's profound. It's amazing how reachable they were and then how teachable they were. Verse 16, with the information that was given to them. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had seen and told them about the child. All who heard it were amazed and the shepherds at what the shepherds had said. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which they had just been told. Reachable, in other words, with the insight that was new to them, and teachable. They actually knew what to do with it, and on they went, and they got the confirmation. But they went because they had already believed. God opposes the proud. gives grace to the humble. Three questions of myself. What's my attitude when it comes to, do I want to get close to Jesus? Am I humble? Or is there a degree of arrogance or pride in me? Number two, how reachable actually am I when Jesus wants to get through to me? And am I actually teachable? I can only do those things if I'm humble in attitude. If I'm not, I'm going to say no. That's the God's honest truth. My application comes with a closing song. We'll give you time to respond afterwards. But this is the application. This is what we're meant to do.